It is the morning show. I'm Kedar Chirkin. The Tournament of Champions is underway on the TV game show Jeopardy. It features 27 top performing contestants from last season, including Green Bay's Ben Chan, who had a 9-game winning streak. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Ben Chan is an assistant professor of philosophy at St. Norbert College in De Pere and a quarterfinalist in the Jeopardy! 2024 Tournament of Champions. Ben, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's a pleasure to join you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Okay. So Tournament of Champions underway. How do you feel about your appearance?
I am very excited to finally be able to show America and Green Bay and Wisconsin what I did in LA. Hopefully they find it as entertaining as I did.
I love your choice of words. Like, what are you able to say and not say about the tournament and the results before the program's broadcast?
Well, I'm glad I'm joining you today, because if you watched yesterday's episode is, I think, one of the maybe the greatest upset in Jeopardy! Tournament of Champions history. Ike Barinholtz, who's the first celebrity Jeopardy! Player to play in the Tournament of Champions, pulled off an upset against Ray LaLonde, who had been a 13 game winner. And it was something. It was incredible to watch in person, and the internet forums were going crazy about it yesterday.
Do you watch yourself on Jeopardy? Do you watch yourself on TV?
Yeah, that's actually the biggest surprise, was that I had dreaded that part of it. Uh-huh. Because, you know, as a lot of people don't like their voice, and then I thought I would not like my voice or my face if I saw myself on TV. But it was, the watch parties were actually probably the most fun I had, because you finally, you know, really you do it for your family and for your community, because that's what brought you there. So that's one that really completes the experience, you know.
I thought you would say you also do it for the philosophers who came before. I mean, is there any is there any philosophical wisdom that can be applied to the game of Jeopardy itself?
Yeah, I think there's a lot. You know, I'm in the middle of writing a chapter for a friend who's putting together an anthology on some related stuff in philosophy. And actually, the best thing is that Tournament of Champions has given me an excuse to go past the original deadline, because I told him, oh, you know, if we wait till the Tournament of Champions is over, I can incorporate all of the wisdom from the Tournament of Champions. So that's been nice.
So what is your advice for preparing to compete on Jeopardy? Do you have any good tips?
Yeah, I think Ken Jennings put it well in one of his pieces. He borrowed this from another contestant, that really the best preparation is a lifetime of paying attention, right? And I think, you know, it's very hard to get on the show, so I wouldn't encourage anybody to study specifically for the show unless they got called. Then you could do some things. But other than that, you know, I think it's, watching the show is enjoyable for a lot of people, and including myself, I think, because there's so much that the show covers in 20 minutes, right? And so I'd say, actually, probably if there's one thing that's most effective in preparing for the show, it's just watching the show.
Hmm. Jeopardy fans say that you clutch the buzzer close to your chest. Is that posture on purpose?
Yeah, it was on purpose. You know, there's a lot of talk, you know, if you search how to prepare for Jeopardy, one of the big things is buzzer anxiety. And so I got a device that I could plug into my computer and play simulated games with before I got on the show. And I think for me, I like that, just because I knew then where the buzzer was. And I didn't have to think about it. There are other preferred stances if you look around, where, you know, you're holding it down by your waist. But then when I tried that, I lost track of where it was. So I just kept it there. Then I knew it was there, and I didn't have to think about it again.
Did you make your own flashcards for preparing? Like, what goes into the flashcards and the studying?
Yeah, I did. You know, they're all made by sort of hand through your phone, which is handy, because now, you know, instead of having a deck where you're cycling through them, the flashcard apps will keep track of when you've seen them and how, when you need to see them again, right? So I think, you know, I think in general, performance has gotten better on the show, and it's probably, you know, 50% due to the fact that now we have these flashcard apps that make learning, this kind of learning, more effective. So
AI is squeaking into every little place, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think for people on this very network talk about, you know, kind of like the optimal way to study, right? And yep. I think it's those apps incorporate some of that psychology about the optimal way to study.
Ben Chan is an assistant professor of philosophy at St. Norbert College. We'll see him on Jeopardy today as a quarterfinalist in this year's Tournament of Champions. Call in with a question, add comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Oh, you know that music. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check in with Ben Chan, who is in the Tournament of Champions on the quiz show Jeopardy. It features dozens of top-performing contestants from last season. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Ben Chan is on the philosophy faculty at St. Norbert College and a quarterfinalist in this year's Jeopardy Tournament of Champions. Ben, what happens inside of you when you hear the music?
That's funny. It's good that's a cover rather than the real music. The real music definitely triggers anxiety. I think it's a good kind of nervousness, you know, like the pregame jitters. But every contestant talked about that. When the real music, when the theme song plays, then you're something in your, you know, amygdala kicks in.
It's a trigger. Yeah, it's a trigger. Yeah. What is your approach to staying collected in such a stressful environment, you know, and knowing where your buzzer is? Like, how do you keep it together?
You know, I think actually once the game begins, then it's very freeing. I think actually there's a psychiatrist who's in the tournament, Dr. Zahir, who mentioned that actually for a lot of people with anxiety and other things, Jeopardy is great because it's actually not a lot of thinking. It's all due. There's not enough time to think. And that's, you do all the thinking beforehand. And then once they start firing clues at you, you're just saying things. You're not thinking.
You've talked about how you've wanted to play with joy, and I want to touch on that word joy. What does that mean for Ben Chan to play with joy?
That's a good question. I think it's a bit of, you know, letting go of thinking, as I was just saying, right? That once you're there, you let something else take over, right? Because mm-hmm. You've done everything that you can from a kind of executive function role. Like, you don't have control over it anymore, right? So once you give up that sense of control and trying to control it, right, I think that's in probably all activities, right, what allows you to experience joy, whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's talk about the misspelling. Jeopardy fans, we gotta go here. You know, so Jeopardy fans on social media say you were robbed of that 10th win when you wrote Benedict from Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing instead of Benedict in Final Jeopardy. What do you think about the show's rules on spelling and the outcome of that?
Yeah, I think I talked to some people on the show afterwards, actually when I visited again, and I think, and without getting into a lot of detail, it was what we would call an edge case, right? That there's pretty clear rules about spelling. There are pretty clear rules about sources. There are pretty clear rules about, you know, other things. And that case just happened to like be a boundary case on three different ways that the rules intersect. So it was a tough case to rule on. And I think that's probably the fundamental part of it. That is a tough case. Just a tough case to rule on because of it didn't align with the canonical spelling now, but it also was a misspelling that kind of changes pronunciation. And then there's a question of which sources, you know, Shakespeare is complicated to source. Mm-hmm. And that threw an extra layer of complexity on it. So it just turns out to be a kind of a tough case to adjudicate.
And then in the scheme of the show, it has to happen within seconds. You know, in Final Jeopardy, your answer is there, and then the host is saying the outcome. So it's not like, you know, in sports where the officials go to the sidelines and review the tape.
Yeah, there is a little, you know, there's editing in the show. So okay. there uh-huh. is sometimes, you know, what we call, they call stop downs, where okay. that happens behind the scenes. But even then, you know, there's only so much you can find out so often in 10 or 20 minutes, right? So, and that would probably be the longest they take. So, yeah, it just is a, you know, actually sports is what helped me. I'm a huge sports fan. And so I realized, look, they're, you know, it's, we're not doing scholarship exactly, right, on the show. It is a game. And in sports, sometimes there are rulings that have to be made that are maybe not platonically perfect rulings, mm-hmm. but they have to be ruled that way because otherwise it would open up a can of worms for the game moving forward.
You're a huge sports fan. Who's your team?
Well, it's a complex. I grew up in New York, so I have multiple teams, but I've lived in, you know, Wisconsin for 12 years now. So I have multiple teams. I have to say, I feel sad when the Packers lose, and I also feel sad when the New York Giants lose.
Okay, fair enough. Well, you know, Green Bay fans have started this online petition that would commission a mural of your face along with the words King of the North. How do you feel about this outpouring of support?
I think it's great. I mean, I'm texting with some of our contestants from TOC right now, and we call this period in between taping and airing Jeopurgatory, right? Because it's, yes. You're in this, right? So we talk a lot, and that's actually part of what makes us so close is we're the only people we can talk, process this with during this Jeopurgatory period. Mm. But, you know, one of the things last year that I wasn't sure about was, look, I think I did something cool, but I'm not sure if anybody will care. And it was important to me to represent, you know, our area well. So I was really, that was one of the things that I was, you know, preoccupied with, is anybody going to notice? And it was really heartwarming to see that people noticed and that they were proud. So that was great.
Talking with Ben Chan, assistant professor in philosophy, quarterfinalist in this year's Tournament of Champions on Jeopardy. Call in questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Have you made some new friends, some new, you know, friends into the future from this experience?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think actually, as I, even the two fellows I play tonight, Emmett and Justin, we're texting this morning in anticipation of tonight's airing. Mm-hmm. They're both amazing people. Like, you know, I think I was telling everybody at the TOC recently, like, oh, you know, I'm not sure I found, it feels less that like I found my people than I wandered into a group of really random and cool people, random weirdos who are into this. But it turns out, I think maybe that is my people, is just, you know, a random assortment of people with really interesting lives who happen to be also good at this fun game show.
So this tournament was delayed by last year's Writers Guild of America strike, and guild members write clues for the show. Did that extra wait time give you any type of edge or perhaps even a disadvantage over other competitors?
I think it, if you've seen, actually, I think the top five game winners, I'm number three. The other four have played and the other four have lost. I think what it did was it gave everybody more prep time, which I think closed the gap maybe between the top game winners and the not top game winners. So I think it made for a better competition. Yeah.
So these game shows like Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, they generate millions of dollars in profits each year. Are contestants being paid enough in prizes? What do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think we've talked about that as contestants. We're more I think concerned about the bottom end of that, right? And whether it's accessible, right? So one of the things, fortunately, that the producers did this year was raise the prizes in regular season play for the second and third place winners, right? So it had been at $1,000 and $2,000 for 20 years, which will barely cover a trip to Los Angeles, and they raised it to 2,000 and 3,000, which I think, will probably make it so that it's adequate to cover a trip for any contestant who, wants to, needs to take a little time off to fly out to tape. So
Oh,
I
yeah.
think
Well,
that's probably the biggest concern.
Ben, all the best. Thank you for joining us. Ben Chan, assistant professor of philosophy at St. Norbert College, quarterfinalist at this year's Jeopardy! Tournament of Champions. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.